Wow. We serve an incredible, incredible Father. He's so good to us. How many really believe what the words you just said? Is he enough? Is he all you want? Because that's all what he wants. He wants all of us. And he wants us to want all of him. And listen, when you say those words, guess what? He shows up. The Lord is in this place. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Everywhere you go, I'll go. To a certain extent, you know, you can't go off of La La Land and expect him to be there. But follow him in his Torah and in his word, and he'll be there. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. We are on, counting the Omer, 49. This evening when we come is 50. Tonight starts the 50th day. And you know, we've been preparing. It says preparing for Shavuot. He gave us 49 days to prepare our lives for what's about to take place this evening. Think. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit. His power, the same power, that spirit that rose Yeshua from the dead, he wants it to indwell in us. That's exciting. That's so exciting. So we're going to go ahead and get started on counting Omer, part 7, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. How many know when we celebrate Shavuot, we're celebrating the promise of the Father? When we celebrate in Shavuot, we're celebrating his promise. And we read in Joel what that promise is, an outpouring. We're so thankful for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of the indwelling of his Spirit. And in Deuteronomy 16:6, it says, 3 times a year, all your males appear before Yah, your Elohim, in the place which he chooses, at the festival of Mazot, unleavened bread, at the festival of Shavuot, the festival of weeks, hence where we at today, at the festival of Sukkot, tabernacle, and none should appear before Yah empty-handed. He said, don't come empty-handed. He said, but 3 times a year, all males should appear. You know, and I don't know how people don't think this is a big deal. Listen, this is a big deal. Shavuot is a big deal. Listen, we're coming into some tough time. We're coming into some, and we just got a little piece of it with this epidemic. That was just a taste. And you think we don't need the indwelling of his Spirit that's going to empower us to get us through the time that's going to come? You better believe it. Listen, we're getting ready to start a series on Revelations. You want to be here. You don't want to miss a Friday, and you don't want to miss a Saturday. You have got to be here. Set the time. Make sure you're here for that teaching. It's powerful. We're going to need it. But we're going to need this power. Notice, and look, it's not what a coincidence that we have in Shavuot, and here we come in with this new teaching. Hey, God don't make mistakes. He's telling us. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for things that's coming. I'm warning y'all. You need my Spirit. You need this power. Because we will not make it. We will not make it without the power of the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Let's not kid ourselves. We was in a panic just over what just happened. A lot of people was in a panic. I ain't going to say we. A lot of people. So this is important. Tonight, tomorrow morning, important. Leviticus 23:15. And from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, the barley harvest, first fruits, you shall count for yourselves 7 completed Sabbaths. Notice it was not a certain date that he said to do. It's not Abib on the 5th or like Passover, you know, the 10th, the 5th. He said you have to count. You got to count. Count for yourself 7 completed Sabbaths. Leviticus 23:16, until the morrow after the Sabbath, you shall count 50 days. Then you shall bring a new grain offering. The set apart spirit does, it recharges us. Sometimes we got to check our batteries. He's that, You know that Duracell commercial? Just keep going. That's what the set apart spirit is. You just keep going and going and going. Just thought about that. Verse 16, one more time. Until the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you count 50 days. Then you shall bring a new grain offering, a wheat harvest, to Yah. To who? You're bringing it to Yah. These feast days are his. The wheat harvest pictures the harvest of souls. Jot that down. The wheat harvest is a picture of the harvest of souls. Because what he tells us, he said, you're going to go out and be witness. He tells us. Verse 17, bring from your dwellings for a wave offering 2 loaves of bread, 2 tenths of an ephah of fine flour. They are baked with leaven, first fruits to Yah. So these are coming out your place. These are coming out your dwellings. And you can't, an offering that you bring to him, you just can't bring it what you want. He gives great detail of the offering that he accepts. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain wanted to bring what he thought was good. He rejected it. But he told Cain, he said, listen, you have an opportunity to make it right. You can make it right, because if you don't, sin is right here at the door, waiting for you. And besides the bread, you shall bring 7 lambs, a year old, perfect ones, 1 young bull, 2 rams. They are an ascending offering to Yah, with the grain offering and with their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet fragrance to Yah. Now we're bringing our offerings, we're bringing our bread. Who brought the lambs? Anybody got 7 lambs here today? Anybody brought those? Perfect ones too. They got to be perfect. Can't just be. And you shall offer 1 male goat as a sin offering, 2 male lambs a year old as a slaughter of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them besides the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before Yah, besides 2 lambs. They are set apart to Yah for the priest. And Yeshua fulfilled every one of these offerings. He was our sin offering. He was our slaughter. He was our peace offering. Yeshua did those so we don't have to bring those offerings. All he wants is for us to bring our 2 loaves. Bring our 2 loaves. And on this day, verse 21, you shall proclaim a set apart gathering for yourselves. You do no servile work on it, a law forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Throughout their generations back then, and guess what? It's still to our generations to today. And our days end, and it's to our kids, this generation, it's still there. They still have to apply. It's a law forever. There's nothing that you do away with that, you know, oh, Yeshua came, so we don't have to do that no more. No, that's not what the scripture says. It says you keep it from your dwellings throughout your generations. In Exodus 19:10, it says, Yah tells Moshe to sanctify the people. We got to get ourselves ready. Yah tells Moshe to sanctify the people in Exodus 19:10. And Yah said to Moshe, go to the people and set them apart tomorrow, today and tomorrow, and they shall wash their garments. And shall be prepared by the third day, for on the third day, Yah shall come upon Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. Listen, he wasn't joking when he said he's going to come upon the mountain in front of the eyes of all the people. He made sure when he came down on that mountain, look, it's still charred today. Still charred today. And they want to wonder, why is that one still dark, charcoal black at the tip of the mountain? That was the one the Father came down on. And Moshe, and shall be prepared by the third day, for on the third day, Yah shall come down upon Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. And it came to be on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the voice of a shofar was very strong, and all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim, and they stood at the foot of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was in smoke, all of it, because Yah descended upon it in fire. And his smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace, and all the mountain trembled exceedingly. And when the voice of the shofar sounded long and became very strong, listen, try to blow this thing for 60 seconds and see how you think it's going to get stronger. No, a human breath is going to get weaker. You could be, you ain't nothing going to come out. Listen, this wasn't no human being blowing this shofar. And ain't going to be no human being blowing the trumpet when he returns. Amen. It's going to be loud. You're going to hear it. That was the voice of the Ruach HaKodesh blowing this shofar. Loud, loud, became very loud, became very strong. Moshe spoke and Elohim answered by him. Listen, don't think that if that was us in their place, you know, that we wouldn't have trembled. Or we wouldn't have said what they said. You go speak to him. Whatever he said we're going to do, you go speak to him, Moses. They tremble. We would tremble, trust me. We would tremble too. And Elohim answered him by voice. And Yah came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And Yah called Moshe to the top of the mountain. And Moshe went up and Moses went up. When Yah called, answer him. If he tells you to come up, you better go. Don't be disobedient. Exodus 19:5. Same, just go up a couple, go to 5 and 6, same chapter. Because I want to show you that before they received the teachings in Exodus 21, he told them in Exodus 19:5, and now, if you diligently obey my voice and shall guard my covenant, then you shall be my treasured possession above all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Notice what we have to do. We have to obey his voice, guard his covenant. Then you shall be a treasured possession above all the peoples. You shall be to me a reign of priests and a set apart nation. Those are the words which you are to speak to the children of Israel. This was right before he gave them the Ten words, the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20, verse 1. That's where we're going at next. They're receiving the teachings. Yahweh is giving them the teachings. It says, and Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yah, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mizraim, out of the house of slavery. You have no other mighty ones against my face. You do not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of that which is in the heavens above, or which is in the earth beneath, or which is in the water under the earth. You do not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yah, your Elohim, am a jealous El. Listen, he wants you and only you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. He's a jealous El. He don't want to share us with nobody. Nobody. Look, not even your spouse. Not even your spouse. He wants you to love him more than what you love your spouse. Listen to me. I learned that the hard way, and promise you, you love him more than what you love your spouse, you will not believe the love he's going to put in your heart for your spouse. He will put it unconditional. It won't be compared to nothing else. You love him more than what you love your spouse, and he's going to shout. He's going to, I tell you, the love inside you for each other is mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. Verse 5, you do not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am Yah, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the crookedness of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving commitment to thousands, to thousands showing loving commitment to those who love me and guard my commands. Those who love me and guard my commands. That's what we're doing today. That's what we've been doing, counting that Omer, guarding his commands. It says, you do not bring the name of Yah, your Elohim, to naught. And how many know our religion has done that. Your English Bible has done that. Close to 6,000 times they took Yah out of the Bible. They took his name. They put the capital L-O-R-D, you know. But he says, look, you do not bring the name of Yah, your Elohim, to naught. For Yah does not leave the one unpunished who brings his name to naught. He will not leave them unpunished. They might think they're getting away with it. But he says that he will not let them leave them one unpunished who brings his name to naught. Will not leave them unpunished. Remember the Sabbath day to set it apart. 6 days you labor and shall do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah your Elohim. You do not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Yah made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested the seventh day. Therefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. Listen, he rested as just a model for us. He didn't need a rest. He doesn't get tired. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, the scripture said. So he rested, showing us that that's what we need to do. You need to rest. Your body needs to rest. Respect your father and your mother so that your days are prolonged upon the soil which Yah, your Elohim, is giving you. Respect your father and your mother. Listen, exercising is good. Eating right is perfect. It's good. But you got to start with this one. This kickstarts the whole health and long days on the earth. Respect your father and your mother so that your days are prolonged upon the soil which Yah, your Elohim, is giving you. You do not murder. You do not commit adultery. You do not steal. You do not bear false witness against your neighbor. You do not covet your neighbor's house. You do not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or whatever belongs to your neighbor. Leave your neighbor's stuff alone. That's all he's saying. You want something, I'm going to give it to you. Leave your neighbor's stuff alone. That's for your neighbor. Verse 18, and all the people saw the thunders and the lightning flashes, the voice of the shofar and the mountain smoking. And the people saw it, and they trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moshe, you speak with us and we hear, but let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. Can you imagine that what they was hearing and seeing? The voice of Yah. They were just hearing his voice. Just think when you get to see him. And Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Elohim has come to prove you, and in order that his fear be before you so that you do not sin. So you do not sin. All what they seen, all what they witnessed right here, they still disobeyed. They were still disobeyed. They still didn't keep the covenant. They still didn't keep that covenant. So the people stood at a distance, but Moshe drew near the thick darkness where Elohim was. The first Shavuot, let's look at four points. Four pointers on what happened at the first Shavuot. Yah came down on the mountain. Number two, Yah spoke from the midst of the fire. Number three, there was a great sound of a mighty wind. Remember those things. There was a great sound of a mighty wind. He spoke from the mist and he came down on the mountain. And number four, Yah gave the children of Israel the commands of the Most High. He gave them his commands of the Most High. The Shavuot in Jerusalem, after the resurrection of Yeshua in Acts 1:1. This is the Shavuot. This is what happened to Shavuot in Jerusalem after the resurrection of Yeshua. Acts 1:1, the first account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yah, that all that Yeshua began both to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after giving instructions through the set apart spirit to the emissaries whom he had chosen, to his disciples. Even after the resurrection, he's still teaching them, but through the set apart spirit. to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, speaking concerning the reign of Elohim. So listen, there was 40 days he was speaking with them, 10 more days to Shavuot. And he says, and meeting with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. So it wasn't that they just was waiting a couple of hours or a couple of minutes. This says he was there 40 days, so they had to wait 10 days. Patience. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble. You know, Brother Herman brought out a good point the other night about this friend. You know, you're so pumped up, you're on fire. But then it don't last long. Why? Because sometimes we don't wait. You know, he does something for us. He stirs up something inside us, and we think we got to go. And that's not all the time the case. He says, sometimes you just got to wait. He says, in meeting with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. And that the promise of the Father, we've seen that in Joel 2, 28 through 29. And this is the promise. And after this, it shall be that I pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not just some flesh. But listen, you got to want it. You got to will it. You got to want it. He's not going to give it to you if you don't want it. If you're rejecting it, he's not going to pour it out on you. But he's telling you. And after this, it shall be that I pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall proclaim things. Listen, he's talking about prophesying. Just like the prophets of old. That he's referring to the same thing. Just like Ezekiel and Daniel and Jeremiah. You're going to prophesy like those prophets. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. Your young men see visions. And also on the male servants and on the female servants, I shall pour out my spirit in those days. That's the promise. He promises that he's going to give us that set apart spirit. Because Yohanan, verse 5, in Acts 1, 5, because Yohanan truly immersed in water, but you shall be immersed in the set-apart spirit not many days from now. That's the key. We can't just get a little sprinkle, a little spritz, a little water bottle. We got to get immersed in the set-apart spirit. That's the only thing that's going to help us make it through these tough times coming. Because listen, the enemy is going to bombard you. He's going to come from all over, shooting all kind of fiery darts. And if you got just a stench of dryness, guess what? You're going to go up in flame. You got to be immersed. You got to be completely just like going in the river and just dunking you just head first, dive head first in. That's what you got to do with this set apart spirit. You got to dive head first. You got to immerse you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. We have to be immersed with it. Not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Master, would you at this time restore the reign of Yisrael? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power. You shall receive power. If you immerse yourself, you shall receive power when the set-apart spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Yehuda, all Samaria, and to the end of the earth. What he calls us to be, go be witnesses. Listen, when the set-apart spirit gets on you, and you immerse yourself in it, you will be a witness. You will be witness. Not everybody is called to, you know, be prophets and pastors, but every last one of us is called to be a witness, to proclaim the goodness of the Master, to proclaim his goodness. And having said this, while they were looking on, he was taken up, and a cloud hid him from their sight, the ascension. And as they were gazing into the heaven, as he went up, see, two men stood by them dressed in white, who also said, Men of Galilee, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the heaven? The same Yeshua who was taken up from you into the heaven shall come in the same way as you saw him go into the heaven. And in Acts 2:1, the day when Shavuot had fully come. Tonight we're starting it off. Shavuot starts this evening. Tomorrow is the day fully comes. The fully day is coming tomorrow. How many of us prepared ourselves for what's about to take place? Have we? It says there was in one mind and one accord in that upper room. That's how we need to come here. One mind and one accord. And watch. Watch what he does. The day when Shavuot had fully come, Acts 2:1, and when the day of the festival of Shavuot had come, they were all with one mind in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You see, compare the Shavuot to the Shavuot at Mount Sinai. And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. It filled that mountain. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and settled on each one of them. That's what we need. We need that tongue of fire. And they were all filled with the set apart spirit, began to speak with other tongues. Languages, talking about, not this tongue movement that, you know, people think. He's just talking about languages. As the Spirit gave them to speak. Now in Jerusalem, there were dwelling Yehudim, dedicated men from every nation under the heaven. What he says, go out into all the world and preach the good news. But notice what he did right here. Every nation under heaven was there. Every nation. And when this sound came to be, the crowd came together. I guess they did. You know, everybody was just mingling around, enjoying the day. You know, they were celebrating Shavuot. They was in Jerusalem celebrating Shavuot. But then they hear this sound. They heard a sound, and then they all came together. The crowd came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Seen the power of the Spirit, what it does? They heard them speaking in their own. This was all one group of people, all Galileans. But yet, men from every nation heard them speak in their language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to each other, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how do we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? How we hear what they're saying? I'm confused. I guess they was confused. They had never witnessed this. Compare the first Shavuot to what happened in Acts. Number one, in the wilderness, Yah came down on the mountain. In Jerusalem, the Spirit came in the upper room. Number two, in the wilderness, there was a great wind because of the fire. In Jerusalem, there was a rushing mighty wind. In the wilderness, Yah spoke from the midst of the fire. In Jerusalem, tongues of fire sat on each of them, and they were filled with the set apart spirit. In the wilderness, they all heard Yah speak in their ear. In Jerusalem, the set apart spirit went in them and spoke eternally. It spoke eternally. In the wilderness, Yah wrote his commandments with his finger on tablets of stone. In Jerusalem, Yah placed his commandments in their inward minds and wrote it on their hearts. In the wilderness, Yah gave the teachings, the Torah. In Jerusalem, Yah gave the teacher. He gave the set apart spirit. He gave the teacher. Listen, he wrote it on tablets. And they didn't keep up to their end of the bargain. He said, but I'm going to do something greater than that. I'm going to put it on their inward parts. I'll put it in their mind, and I'm going to write it on the tables of their heart. The Shema, the terms of the original covenant. Hear, Deuteronomy 6:4, the terms of the original covenant. Hear, O Yisrael, Yah, our Elohim, Yah is one. And you shall love Yah, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your being and with all your might. Notice it's not no some or just a little bit. He wants it all, all. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall impress them upon your children and shall speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. And you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your being, and shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Notice, everything is you. You have to do it. It's individually. It's not the church. It's not pastor. Look, and you shall teach them to your children. No, let pastor do it. No, it's individual. You have to do it. You got to teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You got to write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So that your days and the days of your children are increased on the soil of which Yah swore to your fathers to give them, as the days of the heavens on the earth. For if you diligently guard all these commands which I command you to do it, to love Yah your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to cling to him, then Yah shall drive out all these nations before you, and you shall dispossess greater and stronger nations than you. You shall dispossess stronger nations, greater and stronger nations than you. Notice that there was, you know, it's terms, things you had to do. You have to do. You. I. But they didn't do it. They disobeyed. They didn't keep up to their end of the bargain. Yah is going to keep up to his. We have a responsibility to keep up to ours. That's where we fall short. He don't fall short. There's nothing short about him. It's all us, you know. And sometimes we have a hard time admitting that. Because it's never us. It's always him or somebody else. It's never us. The new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31. Listen to this new covenant. This new covenant is awesome. Because guess what? The yous went to him. He said, I'm going to do it. They didn't keep the first terms, the first contract. So I'm going to rewrite this contract. It's so powerful. So he's incredible. He's incredible, credible, a credible father. You think he loves us? He loves us unconditionally. He said, I'm going to rewrite another contract because they didn't keep the first one. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. See, the days are coming, declares Yah, when I shall make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. He's going to renew a covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I strengthened their hand to bring them out of the land of Mizraim. My covenant which they broke. They broke though I was a husband to them, declares Yah. I was a husband to them. I didn't cheat on them. I didn't talk bad about them. I love them unconditional. And look, just to prove my love, I'm going to rewrite another contract. I'm going to make a new covenant. For this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yah. Verse 33, this is the new covenant. I shall put my Torah in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Listen, he's going to put it in. No more. I'm not going to give him no excuse. I'm not going to let him say, I'm not going to give him the option to let them do it. Them do it. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this for your kids. You got to do this for your household. You got to write on your doorpost. No, no. I'm gonna take it up a notch. I shall put it in my Torah in their inward parts, and I'm going to write it in their hearts. When you fall asleep, you're going to be thinking about it. When you wake up, you're going to think about it. Amen. Listen, when you get the truth, it's no shaking it and trying. No, it's in your inward parts. It's there. They shall be my people, and no longer shall they teach. I like that one. That's kind of good for a pastor. No longer shall they teach. You know, we still got a job to do, but people can't hold us accountable. Because he says, no longer shall they teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know ya, for they shall all know me. Every last one of them going to know me, from the least of them. How many know from the, listen, Sister Marlena and Brother Chandler's got those little bitty girls. Yah's putting the Torah in their inward parts. That's what he's doing. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares Yah, for I shall forgive their crookednesses. Crookedness. I was adding a yes. And remember their sins no more. Think about that. I'm going to forgive their crookedness and remember their sins no more. You see the new covenant? You see, he says, I'm not going to let them, ain't no more what you got to do. I'm going to do it for you. Ezekiel 36:25. Starting with verse 25. And I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I cleanse you. I'm so appreciative, so glad that he cleansed us from our idols. From our idols. He cleanses from them, from all our filthiness. And I shall give you a new heart. I shall put a new spirit within you. And I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh. I'm going to take that heart of disobedience. I'm going to take that heart of rebellious, and I'm going to put a new heart in you. I'm going to give you the want to and the power to obey. Amen. That's what he's telling you when he said, I'm going to put a new heart in you. I'm going to give you the want to and the power to obey. And I shall give you a heart of flesh and put my spirit within you. And I, this is, you want to highlight this one. This is a highlighted verse because I'm going to help you out. When people start asking you questions, why y'all do Shavuot? Why y'all keep Passover? Why y'all do all those feast days? And I shall cause you, that's what you got to tell them. You go to Ezekiel 36:27. Because he causes me to walk in his laws and guard his right rulings and shall do them. That's why I do it. I don't do it because I just so happen to want to do it. No, he caused me to do it. He gave me the want to and the power to. That's why we do it. We don't do it, you know, to say, oh, look at us. You know, we do this, we do that. No, he causes us to. Why y'all do it? Because he causes me to do it. He causes me to walk in his laws and guard his right rulings and shall do them. Yeshua says the set apart spirit is the teacher. Yeshua says the set apart spirit is the teacher. John 14:26. But the helper, the set apart spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all and remind you of all that I said to you. But when he comes, the spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak, and he shall announce to you what is to come. He said he's going to remind us. He's going to remind us. He's going to teach us and remind us. And then he's going to teach us what he's going to guide us in all truth. Listen, you ain't got to worry about veering off. And if you do, he's going to correct you. But he's going to guide us in all truth. Acts 2:5. Now in Jerusalem there were dwelling Yehudim, dedicated men from every nation under the heaven. And when this sound came to be, the crowd came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to each other, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And now do we hear each one in our own language in which we were born?" In verse 14, but Kepha, but Peter. But Peter, the same Peter who just a few days ago couldn't even say his name. A little girl, three times, denied the master. Denied everything he ever did. Every healing, every miracle he ever watched, he denied it. "I don't know the man." Three different times, "I don't know the man." This same Peter right here, the same Kepha, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "Men of Yehuda and all those dwelling in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen closely to my words." Listen, you got to notice the ones he's preaching to right here. They don't want to hear what he's got to say, because they just crucified Yeshua. You know, they just crucified the one who came and did all what he did, claimed to be the son of Elohim, and they crucified him. So this wasn't no, you know, a group of people who Peter had on sitting underneath his teachings for a long time, and they was all, "Hallelujah, preach it, Peter." No. "Men of Yehuda and all those dwelling in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen closely to my words. For these men are not drunk as you imagine, since it is only the third hour of the day." They're not drunk as you imagine. Remember, these was from all over the nations. So, you know, maybe some nations, they drink early in the morning. So he just wanted to let them know they're not drunk as y'all, that's what y'all thinking. "But this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel," the prophet Joel, "and it shall be in the last days, says Elohim, that I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions," just like the prophets back in the day. They seen visions. They dreamed dreams. The prophets had all these. And he's telling us, y'all going to do it. "Old men shall dream dreams, and also on my male servant and my female servants I shall pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of Yah. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yah shall be saved." Listen, everyone, "and it shall be that everyone who calls, everyone whosoever wills it, shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man from Elohim, having been pointed out to you by mighty works and wonders and signs which Elohim did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, this one given up by the set purpose and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have impaled." Listen, this is the Peter that set apart spirit that immersed him. He wasn't immersed till up to this, because he was a coward. He denied him. He couldn't even say that he was just being with him. Couldn't even say that he was just being with him. But listen how he's speaking now, though. "This one given by the set purpose and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have impaled and put to death through the hands of lawless men. Him Elohim raised up, and having loosed the pangs of death, because it was impossible that he could be held in his grips." Listen, it couldn't hold him. He who knew he did not sin. Debt could not hold the Messiah down, because he was perfect. He lived a perfect life. And Yeshua and Yahweh said, 3 days, I'm going to raise him up. 3 days, by that set apart spirit, I'm going to raise him up. The same spirit he's trying to pour on us today. Some of us might even be a little dead. We might need it. We might need be a little resurrection in us. Huh? Let's not kid ourselves. I need it. I need that refilling. For David says concerning him, I saw Yah before me continually, because he is at my right hand, in order that I should not be shaken. For this reason my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad, and now my flesh shall also rest in expectation. Because you shall not leave my being in Sheol, nor shall you give your loving committed one to see corruption. And you have made known to me the ways of life. You shall fill me with joy in your presence. You shall fill me with joy in your presence. Psalm 16:8-11. And that's what that scripture is referenced. Acts 2:29. Men and brothers, let me speak boldly to you of the ancestor David, that he died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Let me speak boldly. You want to speak boldly? You got to get refilled. You got to immerse yourself with the set apart spirit, and you're going to speak boldly. And his tomb is with us to this day, being a prophet then, and knowing that Elohim has sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, to raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne, foreseeing that he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah, that his being was neither left in Sheol, nor did his flesh see corruption. Elohim has raised up this Yeshua, of which we were all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of Elohim, and having received the promise of the set apart spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. He didn't measure it. He said he just poured it out on them that day. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, Yah said to my master, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And that's referencing Psalms 110:1. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, verse 36, know for certain that Elohim has made this Yeshua, whom you impale, both master and Messiah. Listen, he wasn't afraid to proclaim him master and Messiah then. He denied him. It wasn't no denying him right here. He says, both master and Messiah. And having heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Kepha and the rest of the emissaries, men, brothers, what shall we do? You want to get pierced to the heart? Indwelling of the Holy Spirit, of the set apart spirit, will pierce your heart. And it will pierce the heart of, as you go out to be witnesses that he calls us to be, it will pierce the heart of people. But we got to make sure that before we go out, we got to make sure that we are filled with that set apart spirit. Make sure. And Kepha said to them, repent and let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yeshua Messiah for the forgiveness of sins. This is what we need to be preaching more in our church. Repent and forgiveness. Immersed in the name of Yeshua Messiah for the forgiveness of sins. We got to preach and tell people they got to repent. You have to repent. And you shall receive the gift of the set apart spirit, for the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as Yah your Elohim shall call. It's a promise. And with many other words, he earnestly witnessed and urged them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. In Acts 2:41. Then those indeed who gladly received his word. You got to receive the word with gladness. Even if it stings a little bit, you thank him for it. Because there's something that we got to change inside of us. If the word don't sting every now and again, I would check who's preaching the word to you. I would check it. Because if it's the truth, it's going to sting. It's going to pierce that heart and let you know you got to change this. You got to change. Something going on. Those indeed who gladly received his word were immersed. And on that day, about 3,000 beings were added to them. The first fruits of the worldwide harvesting of the soul. That was the first fruits of the worldwide harvesting of the soul. 3,000 beings were added. And then we've seen in Exodus 32:28. And the sons of the Levites did according to the word of Moshe. And about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. 3,000 died, 3,000 was added. 3,000 died at the first Shavuot, 3,000 was added at the Shavuot in Jerusalem. Because of their disobedience. You know, Moses come down from off the mountain and they're just acting up, doing what they want to do. And what he told them, if you with God, come with me. If you with Baal, serve Baal. Then he told those Levites, get your sword out. You got to kill them. Kill them. 3,000 men died. But here we are in this Shavuot in Jerusalem. 3,000 souls were saved. Hallelujah. What an incredible Father we serve. Huh? He's so good to us. So listen, that's all I have for today. I got more for tonight. So make sure you come. Because we have more for tonight. And then we have more for tomorrow. We got more. But listen, it says prepare yourself. We had to count. He told us count 49 days for tonight that's about to take. Listen, and he's given us just a few more hours. He's so good to us. He's so good to us. Prepare yourselves for if you so ever will, if you want it, he pours it out with no measure. He pours it upon you because he wants you. He wants you to be equipped when you go out to be a witness. You're going out to proclaim his goodness. You want to be equipped because you want to speak right about him. You want to speak right about the Father. So come tonight, come expecting. This is a celebration. This is a happy time, a joyous time. You know, come with an offering. He says, come with an offering. You know, just sow to the, give to the church, but come with an offering of praise. Come wanting to praise him. Give him thanks and honor and glory that he deserves. Sometimes we sell him short. We don't give him the honor and the glory that he deserves. We come up a little short sometimes, you know, because we're just not feeling it. We're not feeling it. How dare us? Amen.